Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Well, this morning, I'd like to preach about the focused church. The topic this morning is the focused church. But to help illustrate this, I'd like to get us thinking about spring cleaning. By a show of hands, who still spring cleans? Is anyone still spring clean? Right? So in the beginning of our internship program, what we do with our new interns is they always start by spring cleaning the church. And if in your mind you're thinking about how great a job it is to spring clean your house, it is 10 times the job of cleaning your house. And so what they'll do is they'll go through the church and they'll pick up things that are at places where they don't belong. And in fact, we figure out that as the year unfolds, the church rooms gather up so much clutter, from papers that aren't being used anymore to jerseys that have been left behind and other random stuff that seems to be collected up. One time, I think when Tolamo was still an intern, they found that in one of the rooms in the church, even maggots had taken residence because of all the clutter. And now we're going into spring, and so those who spring clean have probably already done the job. You go through your house, you pack your winter clothes into boxes, you take out those summer numbers that you were working your body in winter for those summer numbers, which never works out. You clean everything from mopping the grass to sweeping the ceiling. And what do you find after you've spring cleaned? You find that all the important things in the home were always covered by clutter. What you find after you've spring cleaned is there's actually a lot of things that you don't need. There's actually a lot of things that shouldn't be on top of the table counter. And then you find out as well that it is easier to function in a clean and decluttered room. And so what usually happens after spring cleaning is you go to your family members and you create a memorandum of agreement. You come up with new rules in how we're going to use this space moving forward because you don't want it to get cluttered again. So for example, rule number one, thou shalt take your shoes off at the door. Rule number two, thou shalt eat dinner at the table or in the lounge and no more in the bedroom. If you don't agree to those rules, you can eat your dinner outside. Rule number three, if you've used it, if you've worn it, put it back or pack it away. Rule number four, everyone must wash their own plate after eating. Do these rules sound familiar? How long do the rules last? This morning, I want to encourage us. In January, we all came up with a memorandum of agreement of how we are now going to be focused in our relationship with God. And from January to September, what has happened? We have gathered a lot of stuff. Our lives have gathered a lot of cluster. And so this morning I want to ask is, has your life become too cluttered that you've lost focus of your kingdom realities and your kingdom responsibilities? Are the things that are important in your Christian walk, have those things been buried by things that are less important? Has your church life also gotten so cluttered that you don't know what to prioritize anymore when it comes to the church and when it comes to your own spiritual growth? The sermon here this morning, I've titled The Focused Church because I'd like to draw our attention back on those things that are critical. Things that are critical not just for church life, but things that are critical for our faith. And so this is a simple message of things that you've heard before, but you've packed them away. And so these are things that easily get buried under the clutter of our busy lives, and these things that are of great importance become missing when we find ourselves in the middle of the year. And so turn to that familiar passage in Acts chapter 2, and we'll pick up our reading from verse 42. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Verse 42 reads, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Verse 46, "And day by day, attending the temple and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray together and ask the Lord to not only bless his word, but help us in the preaching of it. Lord, we come together as your church, asking that you would speak to us. Lord, we ask together that you would use me as an instrument of your grace. Lord, I pray that the sermon would be nothing of me, but Lord, only that which you have prepared in my own heart. Lord, praying for those who have gathered here this morning, that Lord, you would so work in their hearts a burning, raging desire to be obedient to you. God, I pray that you'd help us here at Central Baptist Church to be a focused church. That Lord, we would be a church that declutters as often as we need so that we can keep the main things the main things. And so God, as we go about many different things in the sermon, Lord, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and Lord, the ability to repent and Lord, come back to doing that which pleases our God and gives us much, much joy. So lead us now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. So my first point this morning is the focused church is the repentant church. The focused church is the repentant church. Before we get to Acts 2, verse 42, we have a passage before it in verse 37. Verse 37 to 41 says this, "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' And in verse 39 it says, 'For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' And so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." I don't know if you picked it up, but in verse 37, we see it says, "They heard." In verse 40, it says, "Many other words were preached." Verse 41, we see the response to that preached word. It says, "Those who received the words, these responded by faith and obedience through baptism." How will they get saved without anyone preaching? How can they be the focused church without believing? See, this morning I want to remind us that it is repentance that precedes devotion. It is grace that precedes obedience. If you are devoted but not repentant, then you are prone to being a hypocrite. If you are devoted but not repentant, then you are prone to take off a brand of Christianity that is a legalistic one that just looks for do's and don'ts. If you are devoted but not repentant, you look more like a Pharisee than the lady who fell at the feet of Jesus, weeping and wiping his feet with her tears. Your Christianity will be all show but no roots. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In fact, Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. And so friends, repentance is the pulse of the spiritual life. If we want to be a healthy church, if we want to be a healthy, focused church, then we need to be a church that is repentant. The first act of decluttering is the act of repenting of our sins. How do you respond to God's word? In fact, it is sad that even as I preach here this morning, there are some whose minds have already wandered. As I preach here this morning, it is sad that there are some who are probably currently taking a WhatsApp text, or they are wondering what they're going to do after this. You see, the focused church does not take for granted everything that God has given us to grow. And one of those things is the wonderful word of God. You see, we read that the early church members, as the word was being preached, they were cut to the heart. The sword of the Spirit was wielded and it cut them to the core and it led them to repentance and faith. It was from this repentance and faith that this early church was devoted to God and worship flowed from it. Dear unbeliever in the room, I want to remind you that the gospel is for you. Do not wait too long to repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for today could be the day that God calls you home. The scriptures say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Dear unbeliever, the greatest problem you face is not the problem of poverty. The greatest problem you are facing is not the problem of crime. The greatest problem you are facing is not the problem of infidelity or the problem of witchcraft. Friend, the greatest problem that you are facing is a problem of your sin. Your sin puts you as an enemy of the Almighty God. Your sin puts you in the firing line of the wrath of God. Your sin leaves you in a place of condemnation. The just payment for your sins that you refuse to repent of is death. And friends, this death is not annihilation. You're not just going to be wiped out of existence, but you too will live forever, but you will live forever in torment. Both your body and your soul will be in torment in the lake of fire for all eternity. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The church also, however, we also need to recognize that though we have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, this needs to be a faithful practice in our lives. Church, we will never reach a point of perfection on this side of heaven. We are a people who must always feel the weight of our sin. But there is an unhealthy culture that is developing amongst us who understand this wonderful gospel, that we understand that we are sinners, that we almost form support groups where we say, hi, my name is Jabu and I am a sinner. There is an unhealthy culture where we seem to grow comfortable in simply realizing that we are sinners, that we never look to put in the work of actually repenting of those sins. Church, yes, you are a sinner. But you must be a repentant sinner. You see, we need to grieve over our sins. Do not wallow over your sins. Do not dwell in the pits of the filth of your sin, but repent. Repentance is more than feeling sorry. It means following through on the conviction that God gives and actually turning around, changing your mind and your heart so that you are no longer an enemy of God, but you're now walking in sync with God. And so as you grieve, the beauty of grieving over your sins is that you start to see more clearer the glory of God's grace. God's grace shines through. His work on the cross works and drives us to the Lord as we plead that He would forgive us and bring about healing from our sins. The writer to the Hebrews basically sums it up by saying, church, if you want to be a focused church, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The focused church grows because its believers are repentant and its believers are devoted. That's my second point. The focused church is devoted to God. Consider verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And day by day, attending the temple and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. The natural overflow of repentance is devotion. Those who are repented are devoted to the one who has granted them forgiveness, the one who has relieved them of their burden of sin and the shame that it brought. Those who are repented are devoted to Jesus, and so they cling to him and they sing those words that we know, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Those who are repentant are devoted. And so we see the first thing that they were devoted to here is they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine. What was this apostles' doctrine that the early church was devoted to? It was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, teach them to go out to all the nations and make disciples of all the nations, and then teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, at this point, the Bible was still being progressively written. All the early church had was the Old Testament scriptures and the words of the apostles as they had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. The very words that would form the foundation of the church as we know it. The beautiful thing in this passage is that we see that those who were repentant, they were devoted, and in their devotion, they were thirsty. They were thirsty for the word of God. They were intentional about placing themselves day by day under the teaching of God's word. What helped them to be a focused, healthy church was that they were devoted to the word of God. Those ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. Those words that are sweet like the honey and the honeycomb. Those words that outlast the flower that fades and the grass that withers. Those words that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Those words that are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It is those words that we must faithfully find ourselves devoted to, O Church of Christ. But notice the pairing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. That word fellowship that we use so often here today, the first time it is used in the word koinonia is actually in this passage. And it literally means they had everything in common. They were a team because they shared in one faith, one Christ, and one baptism. They were no part-time attenders. They were one. Those who identified with Christ were careful to walk according to his word, and those who are walking according to his word were like birds of a feather because they flocked together. And day by day, verse 46, attending the temple and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. There were two points of contact where fellowship was had. Fellowship was had in the temple. The temple was the common place that could fit 3,000 souls who heard the word and repented and became members of the local church. It was the common place for the gathering of all who were saved, all who were baptized, and all who were added to their number. I found a very interesting comment that I'd like to share with us. It is interesting in that the temple in which they met was the very same venue that the religious authorities decided to put Jesus to death. It was this temple that was now the place of worship of the risen Savior. But it also says, not only did they meet in the temple, but they also met in small groups in their homes, breaking bread together in Christian worship and fellowship. Friends, healthy, focused churches grow as they gather corporately in the temple, but they grow as they also spend time in smaller groups in each other's homes. The early church was a happy church. They did these things and enjoyed the food with glad and generous hearts. Joy and generosity marked this church that had repented, that was devoted. They were able to do this because they were saved. Their visible love for God compelled them to love one another. Their love for each other was not only a religious act, but it flowed out of a clear understanding that they were one. Church to them was not just a Sunday event, but it was a coming together of people. It also says they all shared in the same gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were connected and committed to one local church, one local assembly. Dear believer, where are you connected? Dear believer, to whom are you one with? Who are those that you are loving intentionally? Who are those that you are sharing joy and generosity with in the temple and in the home regularly? We see they did it day to day. We do it on the Lord's Day. But not only that, it goes on to say that they were also devoted to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Notice both the breaking of the bread and the prayers have the definite article. So it's not just the breaking of bread that they did in their homes, but here it's talking about the Lord's Supper, communion. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You see, this early church was under the apostles' teaching, and the apostles lived under the shadow of the cross. As Jesus had commanded the disciples to do this in remembrance of me, we see this teaching now coming into practice in the early church. The Lord's table is a visual sermon about the gospel that cut their hearts. The Lord's table was a reminder of this Jesus whom they crucified, but now has saved them. They prayed corporately, and they also received prayers. Together, we see that this church was a praying church. They received the prayers of the apostles, but together they also lifted up prayers for one another. H.B. Charles points out that the apostles were devoted to prayer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Acts chapter 1, verse 24 to 25, they were about to make the critical decision of who's going to replace Judas. How did they make this decision? They prayed. The church was born from a people who prayed. The apostles' prayers didn't stop after Pentecost. But we read here that they devoted themselves to praying. If you go to Acts chapter 6, you'll also see that this went so far in the apostles' minds that they gathered up deacons so that they wouldn't get distracted from the ministry of prayer. Focused churches are praying churches. Healthy churches are praying churches. I must insert a note here. I was blessed. I was blessed when we came together after a day of fasting and we came together to pray. We need more of that. We need more occasions where the church comes together to do nothing else but pray. But friends, I want to set out a challenge. The next time we call for the church to pray, the room has to be as full as it is now.
Because the focused church is the praying church. But to be a focused church, you need to declutter. And so, a focused church is devoted to God. Her devotion to God can be measured by her faithfulness to His word, her faithfulness to gathering corporately, and her generosity in homes being opened for fellowship. The healthy church can be measured by how they wait for each other to partake in communion, and the healthy church can be measured in how they pray. When I got to the end of this list, I felt something was missing. This was a church that was devoted to the word. They fellowshipped. They had the Lord's Supper. They prayed. Did they sing? Well, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit will be a people of much praise. Church, as those who are saved, we don't need any worship leader to come and stand here and say, sing louder. If anything, they should be asking, can you sing a little bit softer? Because our hearts must be belting with praise for what God has done for us. And because I'm not going to talk about singing anymore, I want to challenge us. Let's apply this already. When we sing the last song, sing as those who are saved. Sing as those who have a reason to sing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And what happens when we sing? When we sing, we are reciting with one voice the wondrous works of God. When we sing, we are shouting in harmony the glorious attributes of the God that we love so dearly. The watching world that comes in and sees the church singing cannot but be at awe that God is doing something here. But what does the world think when they come in and its members are, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Why would I want to believe in that God who makes you so sad? Our God is good and He is worthy of our praise. And so friends, the repentant church is a devoted church to Christ, and it gets the attention of the world because she is different. The devoted church stands out to the glory of God. And when the church is different, God does amazing things in her midst. Look at verse 43. It says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles." Now, there are many who are excited when they see this passage because they want us to go through that rabbit hole. We will not. I will not go through the rabbit hole of what God was working through the apostles at that time. But what I do want to say with confidence from this pulpit is God still does miracles. If you are a believer here today, my friend, that is a miracle. Your heart, which is hard as stone, God turned it to flesh and saved you, who was not worthy of being saved. Prayers are being answered. God still does miracles. The church is growing. God is still doing miracles. There is so much reason to be in awe because our God is still doing great things. So don't look for the specific miracles of coming on a Sunday and Jabu's going to tell you that I saw a tomato in your fridge. That is not God is actually doing great things in the lives of His people. I must move on. I'm getting excited. The focused church cares for one another. We're almost done. Point number three, the focused church cares for each other. Look at verse 44. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the needs to all as any had need." Oh, this church was close. They were a close-knit church that knew the needs of the people. The church cared for each other in a way that cost them. They were sacrificially generous. possessions and homes were being sold to provide for the pilgrims. Remember, when Pentecost happened, pilgrims had traveled all the way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as they were, celebrate the Passover. And as they were celebrating the Passover, they then hear this word coming from Peter, and they were cut to the heart. And then it dawns on them that the real reason behind the Passover is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they don't go back, they stay, and then they grow. But where are they going to live? They only had packed enough for the journey. They only had enough resources for the time of the Passover, but the Passover had passed. There was no problem. Because as the church gathered together, they saw those who were in need and they cared for them. But how can you tell if there's a need in the church? How can you pick up if there are needs among the members in the church? Because when you look down the pew, everyone here is looking. But you don't know what they're going through. You don't know that this morning they might have not had breakfast. Not out of they were late, but there was just nothing to eat. You don't know that there's someone who you're sitting next to who sang so beautifully, but just lost their job. You don't know someone could be playing the piano so beautifully, but they are grieving. How do you know the needs of the people if you don't get involved in each other's lives? You see, they knew the needs because to them, Sunday was not just an event that was for me and God. And once I've fulfilled my responsibility between me and God, I go home and live my life. Friends, that's not church. Church is about the gathering. Literally, the word church means ecclesia, which is the gathering. Church is about what we do together to worship God. And so we need to be in each other's lives to find out, how can I meet your need? It is encouraging that it was this generosity that silenced any form of envy and contention that could develop. We don't read that in this early church that they envied each other. We don't read in this early church that they were contending against each other. No, he has that, I have that. Because they knew that when I don't have, I can trust that they will provide. When they don't have, they can trust that I will provide. Notice they were not compelled to do it. Nowhere do we read in this text that it says, "Thou shalt sell your houses and provide to the needy." Nowhere does it say in this text that thou shalt give to those who are in need. But this naturally flowed from hearts that were saved, hearts that are repentant, hearts that are devoted to the word of God. And because they loved God, they loved each other well. I think it's also worth noting that not everyone sold their homes. And so you don't have to worry about your house. Because we see in the passage, it says they still met each other in each other's homes. So some people still had houses. Not everyone sold their homes. But the point was this. They went above and beyond for caring for each other. And so church, the repentant, devoted church of Christ is seen in her caring for her members. My last point. The focused church impacts the world. The focused church impacts the world. We see in our last verse, there, verse 47, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I don't know if you picked it up, but it says it was God who grew the church. But what was the church doing when God grew it? They were faithful. The church was simply faithful to doing what God had commanded them to do, and then God brought about the increase. The apostles preached, hearts were convicted, souls were saved, the saved were baptized, the baptized became members of the local church, and the church grew because the church was faithful. That is the normal life of a simple church. And so my intention this morning is to make the sermon as practical as possible. As I told you in the beginning, as I'm going to say now again at the end, I have said nothing that was new to this point. I have said nothing that if you read this passage and you know this passage time and time again, my intention is not to blow your mind, but to declutter your mind. To remove all the things that are preventing us from focus and calling us back to focusing. And so if you consider the different things that make up the local church, you will see that these are the very same things that make the believer grow. Notice everything that I've said from the repenting to the devoting to the caring was in a corporate setting, but it's the corporate setting that flows from individuals who are faithful to God. And so the responsibility is not for me to come and say, are we a focus healthy church? But it's for me to come and be the focus healthy church member. And so, how can you grow as an individual? How can you help us to be the focused church? Well, my challenge this morning was simple. Repent. Believe. Commit to God through His Word, through His day. Sunday is His day. Through His table, through prayer, and through your caring for one another. I'll read that again. Repent, believe, commit to God through His Word, His day, His table, through the prayers, and by caring for His people. And so here are some practical ways that I want to challenge us as Central Baptist Church to declutter and be a focused church. Number one, repent and believe. Every day you need to repent and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you for your sin. Every day live in the reality of forgiveness. Do not cling to that sin that is keeping you from running well, but confess it to God and turn your back from it. So confess, repent, believe. If you are struggling, here's the practical tip. Before you leave today, talk to somebody. We have elders. We have faithful church members. Talk to somebody that they can pray for you, that they can hold you accountable. But leave that sin alone, dear member. Number two. So the first one is every day. Repent and believe every day. Number two is another every day. Devote yourself to God's Word. Every day, read the Bible. Have a personal quiet time that you are following. What passage of scripture are you currently going through? I get it. We are all busy. Even as I say this, I know you're thinking, where am I going to find the time to do that? Well, I want to say, work it into your schedule. Let's stop making excuses, declutter, and work the Bible back into your schedule because it is necessary food for your soul, dear believer. If you don't know how to read the Bible, but you desire to read the Bible, I've printed out some guides at the back. So before you leave, go and grab a guide. Find out how can you study the Bible. So practically, we are without excuse. The third thing is once a week. Once a week, one day a week, devote yourself to the gathering. Which day am I talking about? Obviously Sunday. Church, give your Sundays back to God. Give your Sundays back to God. Before you fill them with activities, tell yourself, tell your family, tell your friends, tell your work colleagues, and even your boss as far as it is possible that Sundays are for God and are for me to be with the people of God. Give your Sundays back to God. And when you are here, be here. Be here. Come to fellowship with the people. Don't just tick a religious box. Come to sing, to edify those around you with the words that are true. Come to pray. Pray for those around you. If you see someone in your pew who you can see, this person is struggling through God's word. This person is struggling with as they're singing, they're in tears. Pray for them. Look out. Be intentional. Pray. Make it a habit to be here when we are partaking in communion. I don't know if you noticed, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says we must wait for each other. Imagine if we actually practiced that. If we actually waited for every member to come, we might never have communion. But the point I'm trying to say is, Paul's argument is everyone has to be here, so wait for everyone to come. And so I want to challenge you, make sure you are here. First Sunday in October is communion. Be here. And then lastly, be attentive to the preaching. So be devoted every day to you reading God's word. Be devoted once a week to the Sunday gathering. Be devoted one day a week to a small group. This is important, friends. This is the place where you can break bread and find out how you can intentionally care for members in the church. Our church is big. We won't get to everybody. By the time you finish the conversation with the person next to you, everyone is already outside and most are already gone. So you need a place, a venue, where you are with God's people and you are able to care for God's people. Where is that? It's a Bible study. Find a Bible study. Declutter and make time for it. Attend it. Be faithful to it. And so again, I've printed out at the back a list of all the Bible studies that are happening here at Central Baptist Church. And the reason why I printed out was I was trying to be intentional. If you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, just go to the back and write down your name. As you write down your name, the leader of the Bible study will call you and say, "Hey, we are expecting you on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Join a Bible study and be faithful in caring for one another. My last point, impact the world. Impact the world. The reason why I intentionally did everything in the week was to show us that a decluttered church is not always doing things with Christians. There are days in the week where we are not with believers. We are surrounded by unbelievers in our workspace. And so I want to challenge you, it is those days that you must devote to impacting the world. God has placed you there to shine your light. So please, shine your light. Shine your light in your office. Shine your light in the classroom. Shine your light in the street, on social media, in your home. Learn how to effectively share the gospel. If you don't know how, you know what I'm about to say. EE3 is happening on a Monday. Chat to our elder. He read and prayed for us. That's one of our elders, Patrick Nyonganyi. Talk to him. Tell him you want to join EE3 and learn how to evangelize. This is actually, I didn't do it. But I want to put together a day where I want to challenge us as a church to come together and let's go to the streets. Let's go to the streets and actively be sharing the gospel. We did it last year. We haven't done it this year. But before the year comes to an end, let's, as a church body, actually impact our city. Let's just go to the streets and share the gospel to those around us, praying that God through us would save souls and will add to our number those who are being saved. And so be intentional. Share in your lunch break. Share with your colleagues the gospel. Your classmates, share the gospel. Family members, share the gospel. Housemates, neighbors, share the gospel. That Uber driver that wants to talk about weird things, turn that conversation to the gospel. Pray for gospel opportunities, and when God gives them to you, use them. So, this spring, clear the clutter and help us at Central Baptist Church be a healthy, focused church. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everyone who has come out here this morning. Lord, I pray that this morning this was a sermon in season for them. God, I pray for those who already knew that their lives were cluttered with stuff and they know that they need to declutter and once again prioritize you. I pray, Lord, that today you'd give them the ability to say no. Say no to things that are adding and taking away from what is important to the vitality of their faith. God, I pray that here at Central Baptist Church, we'd be known as a church that is focused. Everyone knows what we need to be doing. Everyone knows that we must be a church that is repentant. We must be a church that is devoted. We must be a church that is caring. And we must be a church that is impacting the world. God, I pray that that is something that is engraven in all our hearts, that as we are in the world, we are considered faithful before you. And so, God, I pray that you'd bless us, that you'd grow us, and that you'd help us to do all these things, not as unto ourselves or to make much of ourselves, but to make much of you to your glory, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.